thank you, praise team, for leading us and worship this morning. It's so important that we stop to worship and to praise God for who He is. We like to stop and worship and thank Him and praise Him for when He does miraculous things in our lives, but do we just forget, and do we remember to do it on a daily basis and to praise God? Whether He does anything good for us or not, which He always does, but whether He does or not, He's deserving of our praise. Well, I hope you had a good week this week. Melissa and I had a wonderful surprise this week. We were hoping it was going to happen, and it did. And we're so excited about it. Some of you knew that last weekend, our son Ben had an interview in Seattle for a job. And of course, we'd love to have him in Seattle. It's still the wrong side of the state, but at least it's in the state. Yeah. And they told him, he thought it went well, and they said they'd let him know early in the week. And so we kept waiting to get a call from him. And didn't call. And so I said, all these texts. Ben, just remember, we're in your corner, we're on your side, no matter what happens, we love you, you'll get a job, you're great, you're wonderful, you know, the stuff you tell a kid that, you know, you don't really necessarily, you don't want him to really know all that stuff, but you do that when you think that maybe he's not going to. But then he called on Wednesday, and of course, does he come right out and tell us? You know, he plays the, oh yeah, it's so hard. Yeah, he plays that game. He doesn't go along for what, 5 minutes or something like that. You know, and we're just, oh, Ben, it's okay. It's kind of nice. He says, yeah, you know. And he says, but it's going to be great moving to Seattle. And by the way, they called me 20 minutes ago and I got the job. You know, I just, you know. At that time, it's like, well, don't come. So we're thrilled. And it's always good to know that Ben has not changed one iota. So, and he still is really good at bluffing and actually, you know, we're going to talk about this bluffing and lying and conceiving. But he's not here, so maybe, you know, Steve, we can send him a disc, so, you know, he knows not to do that to us. You know, because, you know, his father is old. I can go any minute. Then he'd be sorry. He really would. So, anyway, last week we started talking about the new life. That when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a new life. We get a new life. And I want to talk about that new life because it's an exciting life. And I'm not sure that any of us fully appreciate the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we're gonna start talking about that life and what it looks like. And like I said, I don't have a whole lot of weeks to work on this and on this one. But I'm going to, through this, challenge us a little bit. But I'm also going to just lay out to you the life that comes from having that relationship with Jesus Christ is such a wonderful life. We need to talk about it, we need to understand it, we need to appreciate it, we need to enjoy it. But today it's going to be more of a challenge than it is the joys of the new life. So just kind of hang on here. And we're going to be looking today in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 17 through, I believe, 24 for you, and of chapter 4. So this will kind of get us thinking about the new life. Paul writes, verse 17, So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this new life that comes through Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to understand what it is, what it looks like, the joys of it, the promise of it. Father, there is so much to know. Help us to learn, and Father, not just learn about you, but to apply these things to our life. Father, knowledge is a great thing, but if it isn't something that affects us, that moves us to change, Father, it is just simply knowledge. Lord, I pray that you would reveal the truth that you have for us. I pray that our hearts would be open and receptive to it. And Father, I pray that our lives would be changed by it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we look at this passage of Scripture, and again, this is not one that I'm going to be able to dissect every little verse in it, because it's a rather weighty passage of Scripture, but I'm going to use it more as it does describe one thing about the new life, and I'm just going to take it really simple. One thing about the new life, and what I've come up with as I look through this passage of Scripture, I've come to the conclusion that the new life is a changed life. The new life is a changed life. That means for those of us who have Jesus Christ in our life, that we've accepted what he has done on the cross, and we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we are changed. We are changed. Now, again, we're going to talk more about that, but there needs to be a change in our life because we have been changed. And so that change is something that, according to Paul, should be very visible in our life. It should be very visible in our life. And so we're going to kind of look at this change that takes place and what it is. And first of all, I just need to go with, I have like 4 points under here. And the first thing that we need to say is that the old life that we used to live is patterned after the world. The old life that we used to live is patterned after the world. It's patterned after the lust of the world, the desires of the world, the morals of the world, but not just the wisdom of the world, the thinking of the world, the trends of the world. That is what the old life is patterned after. And as we look at this, and Paul talks about this, let's go back to chapter 4, verses 17 and through 19, and see what he says here. He says, "So I say to you and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." The old life is a futile life, in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their hearts. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. You know, that's the world. That's what we see going on in our world, and that's why we see things like, you know, the shooting this week. It's because of the hardness of people's hearts and the wickedness and the hopelessness that the world portrays. And without God, there really isn't any help on the horizon. And so it's a very kind of feudalistic way of thinking, this old way of life. And the majority of people in our world are trapped in it. And I am going to say trapped in it, because they don't know any better. Now, of course, there are those who have heard the truth and have rejected it. But you know, there's a lot of people, and even in our community, and we think, well, now wait a second, you know, in our community we have people who really don't know about God. We do. Now, there are plenty of people in our community, and I know that you have been faithful witnesses, a lot of you, and have shared your faith with friends and with fellow workers and stuff, and basically they just say, hey, you know what? I don't want it. You know, I got my own thoughts, I'm going my own directions, you know. There are those, but there are still many out there who are saying, I sure wish there was something that I could hold on to, something that I could grasp. You know, because they're not thinking. They can't see the truth. The word futility is just, to me, you know, a perfect example of what they must be feeling. It's, everything is futile. Why improve? Why, you know, I mean, what's the purpose of life? Now try to really think, if you don't have the Lord and you don't understand His plan, what is the purpose of life? Stop and think about it. You're born, you live, you die. That's the purpose of life. No, that's, to me, that's scary. That's scary. But the world lives in this, and so did we at one time when we did not know Jesus Christ. We lived in this world and in the old nature, our old life, which is patterned after the world. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3, verses 1 and 2, says this: you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. See, Paul says, all of us are born into this life. All of us are born into a sin nature and into a world that does not recognize God. And that is our life until we come to Jesus Christ. Then we have a new life, and it is a changed life because we no longer have this futility of thinking. We no longer are dark in our minds, and our hearts are not hardened to what is going on around us. And we have, supposedly or hopefully, that we have laid aside the activities of our old life. And we're going to be talking about it a little bit more. Colossians 2:8, Paul writes, see to it that none of you, that no one takes you captive through philosophies, empty deceptions, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And the world is constantly trying to pull us down. And we see that. I see it all the time. The world is trying to pull believers down. For one thing, the world does not really acknowledge God, so they don't acknowledge us as believers. And of course, Jesus warned us about it and says, hey, if you think the world hates you, they hated me first. You know, it's like, in at least in our nation, you know, we keep hearing the word tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. We need to tolerate. And how unfair it is for Christians not to tolerate everyone's different thoughts, you know, and stuff like that. But as I look at that thing, you know who's not getting tolerated? Christians, wait a second. We can believe what we want to believe, but you cannot believe what you want to believe. Now, that's not tolerance. That's just looking at things one way. See, that's the world. And that's what we used to live in. But praise God, through Jesus Christ, we've been taken out of that world. And our old life has ended, and our new life has begun. But because we have been taken out of that world, we need to lay aside the old life. We need to lay aside the old life. It doesn't have a part of us anymore. Again, we go back to our passage of Scripture in chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "So I say to you and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds." So we need to lay it aside. We need to stop walking in the ways of the world. We need to stop walking in the activities of the world. And I don't mean that we totally withdraw from the world. That's impossible. We live here. This is our home, temporarily. We will have another home coming up, but we do live here. We do have to get along with our neighbors and our friends who are walking in the old way of life, or walking in the way of the world. We do need to get along with them. We can't snub them. We can't put them off. We do need to love them as Jesus Christ loved us. But we ourselves cannot walk in the way that they are walking. If we go a little bit further down in our passage in chapter 4 with verses 20 through 23, we read this: "But you did not learn Christ this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus Christ, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay it aside, the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you are renewed in the spirit of your mind." Lay it aside. We can't do that. There needs to be a change. When someone comes to Jesus Christ, I'm concerned if they say they have believed, they have accepted Jesus Christ, and their life doesn't change. They just said something, but their life doesn't change. There's no evidence of that in their life. Well, Paul says, if you have come to know Jesus Christ, and he uses this, he's kind of almost sarcastic here. If indeed you have come to him, if indeed you have heard him of him, if that is the case, then you have changed. Then you have a new life, and you need to put away the things of your old life. You need to stop walking the way that you used to walk, and acting the way that you used to act. Now, do I say that that's simple to do? No, it's not simple to do. Have you ever been put on a diet? Have you? How many say a diet is simple to do? You know, well, it's a change. See, because you need to change your eating habits so that you can be healthier or lose weight or whatever, for whatever reason the doctor puts you on a diet. You know, whatever it is. And if it was easy, then we'd all be in great shape, wouldn't we? We'd all be in great health, wouldn't we? You know, but that pizza tastes pretty good. Even reheated 3 or 4 times. You know, if you don't break your teeth, it goes down pretty well. And you know, for some odd reason, I just love things that I really shouldn't be eating. And so I know what it is I'm supposed to be doing, but I need to stop doing that and do the right thing. So yeah, I'm saying this, and it's like, it isn't that easy, Pastor. You're right, it isn't. It isn't that easy. It's not easy for me. You know, I have shared with you many times. I struggle with driving. I mean, I'm a good driver, but I'm a little bit of an aggressive driver, and I'm a little bit of an impatient driver, and I'm a little bit of a selfish driver. I don't like sharing the road with anybody. I really don't. I mean, if they're too slow, they shouldn't be on the roads, and if they pass me, then they're wrong. They're just wrong. But quite frankly, if they're passing me, they are wrong, because I'm just, you know, right? Perfect where I'm supposed to be, of course, haha. But you know, I struggle with that. Now, I'm working on, I think most can attest to that. And by the way, I just need to say this, because my wife pointed out something to me last week. I love my wife. I think she's the greatest person in the world. I really do. They poke fun at every once in a while. And sometimes I go a little far and I hurt her feelings. And I don't, folks, I love my wife. My wife is better than your wife. She just is. But she is my wife, and she's not your wife. And I realize that all you men in there, if you're really honest with yourself, you can say the same thing. Well, I love my wife too, and I'm sorry, Pastor, but my wife's better than your wife. See, we would have a big argument about that. So anyway, but I just want to say that when I do joke about it, and I'm going to try to be a little bit more tasteful. In my experience, you know, in sharing with her, I do love her dearly, and I would never want to hurt her. And so anyway, just have to say that. You probably understand why. So, anyway, we look at we have to lay aside what part of our old nature. Colossians 3, 8 and 9 says, by now you also, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Lay it aside. Rise up. You know, it's interesting because I see this attack, and it's happening on Christians, especially young Christians. They're trying to put their new life and the old life. They're trying to meld the two together. And we're seeing things that we shouldn't be seeing by people who are confessing to be Christians, and yet they have this kind of like, well, it's okay. It's really okay. The Bible says that God knows our hearts. He knows we're good. We're not, you know, the Bible is very clear about this is right and this is wrong, and you're supposed to leave wrong and go to right. I don't know why I mixed up my hands. But anyway, you're supposed to leave wrong and go to what is right. Don't listen to what the world is saying. The world is your old life. God is now your new life. Okay, we don't live in a vacuum. We don't live in a void. If we get rid of something in our life, we have to fill that emptiness with something. That's why it is so difficult when we lose a loved one. Because there's an empty void in our life. And there really isn't anyone to fill it. And no one really can fill it, except God in His extraordinary way can fill that gap over a period of time. But we don't live in voids. You know, if we don't replace something bad with something that is good, guess what's going to happen? We're going to go right back to doing what is bad. So we didn't replace it with anything. Now, there's all these passages of Scripture in the Bible, and I've listed some of them for you, that talk about get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this. And, you know, and yeah, get rid of those things. But also, there are equally the same amount of passages of Scripture in the Bible says, get rid of this, but put this into your life. Get rid of this, but put this into your life. Like, we look at our passage of scripture, it says that you need to, Ephesians 4:24 says, but put on the new self. But put on the new self. Lay aside the old self, the old life. Lay it aside. Put it over you. Forget it. Throw it away. Whatever. Put on the new. So if you're going to stop lying and stealing and all those kinds of things, you know, wonderful. But if you don't replace them with positive habits, with good things, with things that God tells us to fill our lives with, we're simply going to slip back to doing the things that we've done in the past in our old nature. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Emphasis again. New things have come. So we need to stop doing the things that are bad, but we need to start doing things that are good, because we don't live in a void. In Hebrews chapter 12, great passage of scripture. One of the things that the author of Hebrews, and we're not really sure who that is, but we know that God is the author of the Bible, so I would say the author is God. But it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, take your eyes off the world. Don't follow what they're saying. Don't do what they're saying. But you've got to focus on something. You've got to focus on God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's our example. He's our example. If we fix our eyes on Jesus and we do the things that Jesus did, or try to do them, or aspire to do the things that Jesus did, we will be doing the right things. We will be fulfilling what we're supposed to be doing in the new life. So don't just get rid of old habits. Get new habits. You know, don't stop reading. I mean, don't just stop reading stuff that is not good for you. You know, your own romance novel. Guys, I know you don't read romance novels, but, you know, Popular Mechanics, and maybe that's something guys read, I don't know. But don't just stop reading that. Start reading the Bible. Or start reading some of the books that godly men have written. Start reading things that are uplifting and that point you towards God. Now, again, that's just one thing. But we need to fill the void. So if we stop, if we lay aside the old self, we have to put on the new self. And we have to be active in our life. And then, of course, the new life is patterned after God. The new life is patterned after God. Not the world, but after God. We go back to the passage of Scripture. Again, if we look at verse 24. I didn't read all of it, and I know some of you think that's cheating, but now I'm going to read it all for you, so just have to be patient. Ephesians 4:24 says, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The new self is in the likeness of God. The new self is patterned after God himself. And so we need to take on the attributes that we see Jesus Christ displaying in his ministry here. We need to take on the attributes that we see God displaying through the Old Testament and through the New Testament. For God so loved the world. You know, we use that word all the time. I mean, that we look at that verse of God so loved the world. Well, our new life is patterned after God. So guess what? Who should love the world? Now, again, I'm using the word world in two different ways here. I'm not talking about I love the way of the world. Not the way of the world. When God says, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he's talking about the people of the world. And God loves them. And folks, we need to love them too. And unfortunately, the church has a bad reputation of not loving some of the sinners in this world, especially those that we perceive their sin to be far more than ours, or of maybe a more disgusting nature. And so, oh, boy, anyone who does that, well, I can't love them. I can't, but you know what? We need to love them. That doesn't mean we're going to have warm fuzzies in the heart, feeling towards them. But it means that we are going to pray for them. We're going to do whatever we can to help them. We need to love them, just like God loved us. So the new life that we live is patterned after God. And so we can kind of stop and say, would God have done what I just did? That's always a good Christian. You know, what was it? There was an old saying, what would Jesus do? Okay, that was, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, oh, I don't know, hundreds? No, I mean, the early 2000s? No, I don't know, this works. But anyway, whatever, you know, you remember that little, you know, WWJD. Okay, I was never good with initials. So anyway, but, you know, that is really a good question. I know it got overplayed and I got really tired of it. But that is really a good question, not necessarily what would Jesus do, but am I doing what Jesus would have done? You know, because we can ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? But the question is, are we going to do it? You know, I mean, that was great because it asked the question, but then the other question is, what would Jesus have done, and are you going to do it? That should have been the second part of that. And why do it? Again, you know, that's you don't want me to advertise anything or to make quick little slogans that I'm not good at that. So anyway, but we need to pattern our new life. Our new life is patterned to God. And so is our life. And this is a question you can ask yourself. Is my life patterned after God? If someone looks at me, are they going to see a good representation of God? Now, obviously, we can't represent God to the fullest because we're not God. But is our life different? Do people see that we're different than the world? If they don't see a difference, if they don't say, what is with that guy? Maybe they even think he's crazy. That's okay. That's okay, because I'm sure the world thinks Christians are crazy. There's nothing wrong with that. That's their opinion. That's not God's opinion. And God's opinion is the one we have to do. So anyway, look at yourself. You know, look at your life. Is my life demonstrating God? Is it showing Jesus Christ? If it is, wonderful. We've put on the new life. If it's not, we need to think about that. Hey, wait a second here. We have a new life. We need to live the new life. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, just the next chapter down. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Again, be imitators of God. That's the new life. Colossians 3:10, it says, and having put on the new self, who is being renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, in the image of God. That's what the new life is patterned after. Is that what our life looks like if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? We have the new life. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. But we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can hurt the Holy Spirit. And actually, going to close with a passage of scripture that talks about what this new life looks like. You know, so many times, and pastors have been, have been criticized for, they tell us, but they don't ever show us what it looks like. Well, actually, Paul gives us a picture in the rest of this passage, Ephesians chapter 4, what the new life looks like. Now, Mark, I put this on the screen ASV, the New American Standard. I'm going to read this to you in a translation by Eugene Peterson. Now, I wouldn't recommend this translation if you're going to do a deep Bible study. But if you just want a devotional, he has a unique way of saying things. And so this is what I think the new life looks like. And I'm going to close with this. And so, Grayson, get ready to come on up and whatever. But I'm going to close with this because this is a picture of what that new life looks like. This is what how Eugene Peterson translates this passage of scripture, starting in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, what this adds up to, then, is this. No more lies. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other, after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive, forgiving one another, as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Father, the question we need to ask ourselves is this what our life looks like? Is this what people see in our life when they look at us? Father, through Jesus Christ, you have given us a new life and you have placed your Holy Spirit in us. Father, are we allowing your Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Are we showing the things in our lives that you want us to show? Are we doing the things in our lives that you want us to do? Are we acting the way that you want us to act? Are we behaving the way that you want us to behave? Father, this is a question that we need to ask of ourselves. You have given to us here in this passage of Scripture a picture of what the new life looks like. Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to live that new life so that the world can see you in us. Father, thank you for your words, for this challenge, Lord. Help us to apply this to our life, that we might be a light shining in this world. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.